This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Colostrum LD is clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens, and fight infection, as well as cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. To order, just go to SovereignLaboratories.com. That's SovereignLaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to SovereignLaboratories.com for Colostrum LD. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. The subject is vaccines, and it's really a hot-button issue because, people are passionate on both sides of this issue. Dr. Cowan, I have a cousin who, I grew up with and I really like. She became a pediatrician. She's a very, very smart woman. But whenever we get together, we just try to avoid the subject of vaccines because she is adamantly in favor of adhering to the vaccine schedule. In fact, she thinks it's one of the most important things a pediatrician can do is to motivate recalcitrant parents to make sure that they get their kids their vaccines because it's considered the most important public health advancement in the 20th and in the 21st centuries that we can now protect kids from disease. So, yeah, how many vaccines do kids actually get these days? And are some of them superfluous?
Between the ages of 0 and 18, I think the number is 69 different injections.
Whoa.
It might help to say, well, this is what Tom Cowan thinks, but I have some interesting quotes here from people who've looked into this. For instance, Albert Sabin, remember him?
Yep.
Developer of the Sabin polio vaccine, one of the greatest
polio vaccine, right?
Right. So this is a quote from Sabin. Quote, official data has shown that large-scale vaccination in the U.S. has failed to obtain any significant improvement of the diseases for which they were supposed to provide immunization.
Wow.
In essence, it was and is a failure.
Wow.
Now, here's another one. This is from a guy named Dr. Anthony Morris, who is the former chief vaccine control officer and research virologist for the U.S. FDA. All right? Quote, there is a good deal of evidence to prove that immunization of children does more harm than good. The manufacturers of these vaccines know they are worthless, but they go on selling them anyways.
Oh, that's pretty.
Here's another quote.
Pretty uncategorical there. That's a pretty out-and-out denunciation of the vaccine program.
Here's a guy, Robert Bell, Vice President, International Society of Cancer Research at the British National Cancer Hospital. Quote, the chief, if not the sole cause of the monstrous increase in cancer has been vaccination. I could also quote from a guy named Yehuda Schoenfeld, who's the editor of the Autoimmunity Reviews, co-editor of Journal of Autoimmunology, and a member of the editorial board of Clinical Reviews in Allergy and Immunology, who estimates that there's 150 million people who have a autoimmune disease caused by the adjuvants in vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he coined the name for this, which is called the Asia syndrome, autoimmune syndrome induced mm-hmm. by adjuvant,
yeah.
which is now going to be renamed the Schoenfeld syndrome.
Mm.
So it isn't just me who has questioned, A, whether they work, because the CDC's own data shows that the incidence of the death rate had plummeted dramatically before the introduction of vaccines. And since then, the incidence of chronic disease and particularly autoimmune disease and allergies has skyrocketed in a way unprecedented in human history.
So the take-home message for parents and grandparents who are perplexed after hearing all this is what? Is it advisable to be selective about vaccines, to take only the ones that are the key vaccines, the most important ones, and perhaps eschew certain others, or perhaps to take only monovalent vaccines, which means not a lot of vaccine stimulation all at one time, you know, trivalent or quadrivalent vaccines. Sometimes they want to grab you while they get the getting's good and give you as many shots as possible because they know you're going to be reluctant to pay another fee and come back into the office. Or should you delay or spread out vaccine administration? I mean, what is a practical solution for parents and grandparents?
So before I get into that, because I would ask anybody who advocates for any of those solutions. So if they're advocating for a certain vaccine, to provide the evidence that there's more, that you're achieving a better health outcome, because of the vaccine that you're about to give, mm-hmm. instead of producing more disease.
I think what you're saying is instead that's just like harm reduction or harm mitigation when you are making a very fundamental argument against the whole concept of vaccines. I think that's what you're saying here.
Exactly. Now, here's another one. This was from a peer-reviewed journal, which is very interesting because it was the first time and probably the only time that a certain vaccine group, this was DPT, was actually studied in as close to a placebo double-blind study as possible. And the conclusion was, I could give you the reference to the article, it's called The Introduction of DPT and Oral Polio Among Young Infants in Urban African Community, a Natural Experiment. Can't see exactly where it was published, but DPT was associated with a fivefold higher mortality than being unvaccinated. No prospective study has shown beneficial survival effects of DPT. Now, the author of this, a guy named Mortensen, is considered pro-vaccine, and he's considered one of the world's leading authorities on vaccine programs. Now, for him to say there is no prospective study that shows beneficial survival of any vaccine means either he doesn't know what he's talking about, which is interesting because he spent his last 40 years doing nothing but studying and implementing vaccine programs, or he's correct and there is not a single prospective study that demonstrates better health of children who are vaccinated with any vaccine.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is the practicality of a very hangout position vis-a-vis vaccines or a refusenik position because as a physician, I'm sure you catch a lot of flack. I'm going to get a lot of blowback just for airing this opinion on the radio, having an open discussion. But for a parent, especially in California, I think you're from the 415 area code, which would be Northern California. It looks like California is becoming even more draconian about insisting that kids get vaccination. It's almost, mandatory. The exemptions aren't being honored anymore. You can't get into a public school. You can't get into colleges. You can't get into many organizations. You can't serve in the military, et cetera, et cetera. It's a tough row to hoe, if you go to the mat on vaccine refusal, isn't it?
So the first thing I would say about that is that's a political question. Mm-hmm. And I'm a medical doctor. Yeah. So let's just say I don't know anything about politics. Now, obviously, I have my experiences and my opinions, but that's not really the important point here. The important point is, whether one has to mm-hmm. go out of your way or whatever. The important point to consider is if I'm correct, and, I wrote a whole book about this explaining the benefits of fever, how fever has been used to mm-hmm. treat even diseases like cancer with astounding success mm-hmm. compared to what we have now. Mm-hmm. and just the whole physiology of how this actually works. So to me, those are the issues. Now, of course, you can bring into it political and economic things, and then everybody will have to decide for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I try as best I can not to focus on that, because mm-hmm. that immediately gets you off the subject. Yeah. The subject is, is this medical intervention, mm-hmm. is injecting aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, mm-hmm. human DNA, glyphosate, which is in most of the vaccines, is that a good thing to do to a child?
Right. It's a little bit like a little bit like Galileo or Copernicus saying, you know, I'm pretty sure that the planets revolve around the Earth, and it's not that the Earth. The Earth is a planet that revolves around the Sun, rather than that everything revolves around the Earth, and that. However, that may not be so good in terms of my getting a civil service job in Padua or in Florence in Italy during the Renaissance or in the 1400s. So maybe I should cool it on my views. I think you're just taking the scientific viewpoint, which is that you don't see the value and you see the harm. And unfortunately, you know, it's kind of like
that's the issue.
It's kind of like taxes, you know, like, It ain't good, but
right.
But
I'm not saying it's that inconvenient, or that you might not get in trouble, or that people might not heap scorn on you. But mm-hmm. that's not the issue I'm talking about.
Right.
What I'm talking about is the medicine, and that's what I do. I'm a medical doctor, so I'm concerned with people's health. I mean, if some politician wants to say, "I think we should chop off everybody's foot," you know, I wouldn't say, well, yeah, because I'm going to be in trouble if I don't. I would say, I'd rather you not chop off my son's foot.
Right. Got it.
Period. Yeah. I mean, if something bad happens to me, I mean, what can you do?
Okay, folks, let's pause now to allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. Here goes. Did you know the benefits of nature's most powerful superfood are universal and always available no matter what your age? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a nutritional supplement I recommend and use that's clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens and fight infection, and cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. It's Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. With Sovereign's proprietary enhanced delivery system, Colostrum LD is the most effective colostrum available. Colostrum LD has wide-ranging health benefits at every stage of life. To order, just go to sovereignlaboratories.com. That's sovereignlaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to sovereignlaboratories.com for Colostrum LD. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Thomas Cowan. So, you're someone who's a health advocate. You come from an anthroposophical background, which is heavily oriented towards a natural approach to disease. And you've also served on the Weston A. Price Foundation, which is heavily oriented towards diet. For parents of kids who are unvaccinated, are there other ways to safeguard kids' health? What's the alternative?
So, that's an interesting question, and I've done enough podcast interviews to know that. I get this question a lot, mm-hmm. and I've thought about it because I've tried to turn myself in circles. So the question is, I'm thinking about, or I have an unvaccinated child, yep. and what should I do to make sure they're healthy? Mm-hmm. The problem with the question, when I started doing this around vaccines, I was really flummoxed about it, because yeah. the fact of the matter is, besides, you know, telling them to eat nourishing traditions Weston Price food and play outside and get sunshine and mm-hmm. have fun and don't, you know, have parents who don't hate each other and all those things, the fact of the matter is I don't tell them to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the real issue, and the thing that I would actually love somebody to ask me about, is if you're going to start injecting a child, a day one day old child, with nephroneurotoxic doses of aluminum. And then you're going to do that 69 times before they're the age of 18. Mm. How in the heck am I going to try to keep this child healthy? Mm. Because what I know is now I've created a situation where it's very likely that they're going to end up with some sort of chronic disease issue of either a physiologically or a neurological or emotional psychological origin. Because I have actually created the conditions where this is likely to happen. Mm-hmm. So, Tom, what do I do about this? Mm-hmm. Because that's my situation. The other side of it, what
that's
do
kind
I
of a,
do
kind
with
of a rhetorical jujitsu. You're sort of taking the question and flipping the script on it and saying, hey, you know, the question really should be, what do we do with all these kids who are immunized?
Right. If you're going to inject a one-day-old child with aluminum, if a parent came to me and said, I'm going to follow the usual schedule, I would say, what's your plan of aluminum detoxification?
Mm-hmm.
They say they don't have one. Well, you know, according to the CDC and everybody who's looked into aluminum, which interestingly is a substance of which no biological organism uses in any reaction, mm-hmm. number yeah. one.
It's not an essential trace metal or, you know, it's like, you know, molybdenum or something like that.
Yeah, right. Manganese. It's not like zinc or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Right.
And number two, we have a very low absorption of aluminum, like 0.02%, which means, and we don't have any excretion pathways. And why is that? Because the body doesn't want it, so it doesn't absorb it, and so there's no sense in having excretion pathways because we don't get it into our tissues or blood anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion for anybody with aluminum is, if that's the case, the last thing you want to do is inject it into somebody. Because now you bypass that absorption mm-hmm. issue.
Yeah.
And interestingly, when the people say, oh, it's safe, there's more aluminum in breast milk or if a child eats sand, which is true, except for none of it gets absorbed.
Yeah.
The amount in a vaccine that's injected
right in the bloodstream
does get absorbed, right? And it doesn't have, we don't have excretion pathways. So if you're going to do that, you should come with a plan saying, here's how I'm going to get that out of their body, and here's how I'm going to try to rebalance their cell-mediated and humoral immune systems so I'm not left with a child who has a deficient cell-mediated reactivity, which is, interestingly, one of the definitions of cancer. When they, you know, that's why they can't find mm-hmm. an immunization against cancer, because it's not the humoral immunity that does it. It's the cell mediated.
Mm.
So I'm now left with a cell mediated deficient child and one who has an overstimulated humoral immune system. What am I going to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. If you don't do any of that and you feed them decent food and play outside and get sunshine, you know, most of the patients who I have like that, I haven't seen in 5 years. I see them, you know, at the park, and they say, oh, there's my doctor, and I scratch my head and say, wonder who that is.
You're putting yourself out of business.
Right. It's bad for business.
Exactly. So here's another wrinkle to this. Lately, the vaccine manufacturers and public health authorities have been campaigning to get grandparents to get shots so that they can see their grandchildren. I've gotten this question a lot on my weekly radio program. It's like, my kids don't want me to see my grandchildren until I get a vaccine booster because they say that I can give my child a serious disease. Even if I'm not sick, I might be a carrier. So, you know, what advice for these seniors who are told that, you know, they're perfectly well, but they're told that they need a shot?
So the main one they do that for is pertussis,
yeah.
which is the main one which has been absolutely definitively shown that the pertussis vaccine does not affect the carrier, does not affect the transmission rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's total hocus pocus.
Okay.
Because it doesn't affect, you don't have to, By giving the vaccine, in fact, there's some evidence to show that you will more likely become a carrier of the mm-hmm. pertussis organism, because the vaccine doesn't prevent mucosal shedding. Yeah.
They actually found that with the flu vaccine, I think recently there was a study, very
exactly.
controversial, about how people who get the flu shot, sometimes they don't get the flu, but they're more likely to shed the virus,
yes.
thus making them
right.
carriers and potential igniters of an epidemic.
Exactly. So why do they do it? I don't know. You have to ask them. It
okay.
doesn't. There's no science that supports less disease in children. And again, the question that people should be asking is not, do I get less pertussis because of the vaccines, but do I get a healthier child? Now, mm-hmm. if you even want to make it more specific, you could say, if I give somebody a pertussis vaccine, in this coming year, how much will they cough? Now, the reason that I like to ask the question in that way is, let's say they cough 1,000 times for 2 weeks with pertussis. If they have asthma, they're going to probably cough 2,000 times in that year because they have asthma, which becomes chronic, and they mm-hmm. may have it for the rest of their life.
Right.
So we haven't
more serious than a case of
coughing.
A whooping cough, which you usually recover from.
You recover, and then you never get it again.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, my experience with 1,000 cases of whooping cough in my career, because I've always been in a situation where, you know, I didn't vaccinate and none of my parents would have done it anyways. So I've seen, you know, 1,000 cases of whooping cough, including my own 3 children, once at 6 weeks old. And they always go through it. I've not had one adverse outcome, and they never cough again. And that's an exaggeration a little bit, because they may get something. But I haven't had one who's gone on to have a chronic respiratory disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because there is something about exercising your immune system. There is something about learning how to overcome a disease,
mm-hmm.
which modern pediatrics seems to have either no awareness or no interest in that.
It's boot camp for the immune system. It's like
exactly.
It's like programming your hard drive. I mean, you got to download, you know, some software to develop a hard drive. And really, the analogy extends to computer viruses that affect the immune system, human immune system. It's like the same thing that viruses affect your computer. You need to download the viral protection software.
Right. And the viral protection software is the cell-mediated fever, mucus, cough, etc. That's, you know, Hippocrates said, give me a medicine to produce a fever and I can cure any disease.
Mm-hmm.
That should be day one in medical school. Because if you understand that, you understand why there are childhood diseases, what it does for you, and the absolute danger of messing with that system.
Dr. Cowan, what is VAERS? The vaccine, what is registry? I don't know what the
English is. Yeah, VAERS is essentially the place where a physician is required by law to report vaccine adverse incidents. And, you know, not that I want to pick a fight with doctors, but most doctors, including those who give vaccines routinely, they don't know how to use VAERS.
Mm-hmm.
They've never once reported it.
Or it's a hassle. It's a time suck, and
yeah,
they're very time
pressured. Right, it's a huge hassle. So I say to patients, if a doctor says that he wants to give you an immunization, say, you know, can you show me how your history and your record of reporting to VAERS? Because if something happens, I want to make sure it's reported. My guess is they will say they've never once reported it, not because they've never seen it, but because they don't know how. Which means that some of the estimates of the underreporting of adverse effects is somewhere between 0.1% of adverse effects are reported to 1%. So that means there's 100 times, up to 1,000 times more adverse events than actually are reported, because people, A, don't report it because it's a hassle, or B, they don't know how to report it.
Dr. Cowan, I also understand that vaccine manufacturers are exempted from liability, that they are virtually shielded from any kind of repercussions if something should go awry. Unlike with pharmaceutical drugs or medical devices, it's via some sort of protective legislation.
Well, in 1986, there was I don't know if you remember this, but I remember because I was in practice by then. There was a lot of adverse reactions to particularly the cellular pertussis vaccine. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of lawsuits involved in that, because children were killed or damaged. I had one in my residency who died the day after. And of course, we said it was SIDS, not from the pertussis vaccine. So it was a clear case of underreporting. Mm-hmm. So the vaccine manufacturers went to Ronald Reagan and said, if you don't give us blanket immunity from all damages from vaccines, we're going to stop making vaccines. And Reagan, to his credit, issued a warning about this, saying, I don't know about this, but because this doesn't seem right, but I don't think I have any choice. So he signed it and set up the National Vaccine Compensation Court, which means that if you have an injury from a vaccine, there is no liability from the manufacturers. They can't be sued. They have no liability of any sort once the vaccine is on the schedule. And you're essentially suing the federal government. Mm-hmm. So
they indemnify the vaccine manufacturers, in effect, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you sue your own government. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of rules on there's no discovery period. Mm-hmm. And so if it isn't in certain, like if the CDC hasn't listed this reaction as part of the negative effects, then it can't be included in the compensation judgment. So that was a disincentive to actually study the safety of the vaccines. Because if they prove that, formaldehyde or aluminum causes autism, they would be on the hook for the 1.08 million children with autism. So now they just don't do a study, and so you can't prove that it's related. And even still, under these kind of crazy rules, I think the latest number is $4.3 billion of compensation have been awarded to vaccine-damaged people, which again is an estimate of 1/100th of the people who deserve compensation.
Yeah, and it's sort of an administrative court, kangaroo court kind of situation where it's not really ordinary negligence lawsuits.
Right. So it's a really big issue for the government because, if they keep doing this court, they're potentially on the hook for $400 billion.
Wow. Okay, well, you have many such revelations in your new book. It's just out this month, August 2018. It's Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. And any additional resources that you want to point people in the direction of?
So if people are, listening and are, sort of science-y, wonky people who they don't believe anything unless there's papers and peer-reviewed and double-blind studies. The place to go is vaccinepapers.org, and he reviews all, for instance, the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a paper saying these 42 studies prove there's no connection between autism and vaccines. Mm-hmm. And so he goes through and analyzes every single one of those studies. Mm-hmm. It's very tedious, and I wish I hadn't had to do it, but I did. Mm-hmm. But if you want to hear the science and actually see the very well worked out, peer-reviewed science connection of how vaccines cause neurodevelopmental problems, all spelled out in the research literature. That's the site to go to.
Once again, that is vaccinepapers.com?
Vaccinepapers.org.
Okay, .org. Okay. And do you have a personal website?
I have a bunch of them, but fourfoldhealing.com is one. And then I wrote a book on the hearts, and that's humanheartcosmicheart.com.
Okay. That fourfold with a four numeral four or?
No, fourfoldhealing.com.
Okay. Great. And the book is out and you can find it from the usual sources.
You can't get it until August 14th, I hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess what you could do is reserve a copy. That's usually, there's like a pre-publication situation.
Yeah, right.
So, last I checked on Amazon, it, you know, from the date of our publication of this podcast, it'll probably be a matter of a few days before you receive your copy, if you so choose, because it's a perplexing issue, but it's something that, you know, unfortunately, we can't just divide this argument into, you know, anti-vaxxers and vaccine denialists using rhetoric. It's important that we take a look at a program that affects the health of Americans and especially our children in so many profound ways. And I thank you for, you know, having the courage and determination to, you know, and in the face of, I'm sure, a lot of professional pushback broaching an issue of such a controversial nature. Thank you.
Well, it hasn't started yet, but it's possible it might.
All right. Well, watch your back, because it's bound to generate a firestorm. Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness by today's guest, Dr. Thomas Cowan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.